All right, did you find your Bibles?
Yes, sir.
I gave you some time. All right, let's go to our Bible here, and we want to go to a few scriptures. Let's go, first of all, read Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, and Proverbs chapter 16, and Psalm 108. We're going to read three scriptures. We're going to talk about how to have good success in life, how to have good success. If you're having a hard time, I want to show you from Scripture. Amen? You don't want to be a failure all your life. Amen? Or you don't want to feel like one. People, you know, there's people who have success. I know of a lady who lost, I don't know how many pounds. They still didn't feel successful. And I'm not talking about anybody here, but one person. And they lost the weight, and they still, it was not enough. They look in the mirror, they saw that same fat person, and they was not happy. But you can get rid of that tonight. Is it night? It's night in here. It's morning. Wherever you are, it's nighttime. Amen. Christmas time, you know, it's supposed to be Christmas. Everybody's supposed to be jolly and happy. Right? It's supposed to be. You have to be. But it's a sad time because you spend money, right? Spend money you don't want to spend. Have to go eat with people you don't want to eat with. Huh? Visiting relatives, they invite you over. You're eating their cookies. You don't even like their cookies. You know, so, but there's sometimes I love cookies. Like, there's a cookie monster in the house, I heard. Somewhere out there. We call him Pastor Cookie Monster. Did you find it? Okay, so how to have good success in life. And Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. We're going to read that scripture, but I want to read a number of scriptures before that. But I just want to show you, first of all, God speaking here to Joshua. It says, this book of law. Now, all they had back then was the Moses writing. And the four books, I believe it is. What is it? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Genesis, Exodus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, and Leviticus. I always forget Leviticus because I don't hardly like that book. How many of you love Leviticus? You just read it all the time, right? Yeah, just, well, what's your favorite book? Oh, Leviticus. So anyway, those are five books of the law called the Pentateuch. All your Pentecostals. And that's what they had. And after that, they had the prophets. And whatever they said, all the prophecies they did. But he says to this guy, that's what they had. It's the book of law. This is the book of law. This book of law shall not depart out of thy, what? Mouth. In other words, you need to say something about it. Get it in your mouth. But thou shalt meditate. Everybody say meditate. Meditate happens in your mind, but also in your mouth. When you meditate, you also use your mouth. That means you're talking to yourself. I found talking to myself very beneficial. And so it says there, meditate there day and night. That's every, all time. You never stop. Then thou mayest observe. Okay, that thou mayest observe. You see, that's why I don't read the King James. That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. In other words, when you begin to do this, you look at that book of law, then that's how you remind yourself, right? So then thou shalt make that way prosperous, then thou shalt have good success. So we want to have success. God wants success for every person in this room. And otherwise, he wouldn't have told us, because he said, I want you to have good success. One version says that you may deal wisely in the affairs of life. We want to have wisdom to deal with every situation that we come across. So let's go ahead and read. Let's read the New Living Translation, starting from verse 1, if we pick that up there, in the Joshua chapter 1. After the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, The Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant. He said, Moses, my servant, is dead. He's dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan into the land that I'm giving you. You know, sometimes we get stuck on things. God has to tell you, okay, that person is gone now. You need to move on. That's for all of us. You can't be stuck in, you know, in that whatever it is that we stay in, right? We have to move on. This guy, if God didn't, he would have been hindered by the fact that, oh, my leader is gone. God says, now you're going to be the leader. He says, I promise you what I promised Moses. Wherever you set your foot, you will be on the land I'm giving you. From Negev wilderness to the south, the Lebanon mountains in the south, from the Euphrates River to the east and the Mediterranean Sea in the west, including all the land of the Hittites. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live, for I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you. Be strong and courageous. You know, courageous means that even though you're afraid, you're still going to do something. It's not the absence of feeling fear, because you can do a lot of things scared, right? And so, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land that I swore to their ancestors that I would give them. Be strong and be very courageous. That's the second time he said that there. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right hand or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. I like that. We want that. Study this book of instructions continually. Meditate on it day and night so that you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then you will prosper and succeed in all that you do. The second time he says, the third time he says, you know, we need to understand that God wants us to have success in everything you do. Let's go to a couple more scriptures that talk about success here. Let's go to the next scripture I gave. And that is Proverbs chapter 16, verse 3. And I want to read it in the New Living Translation because it translated this. And, you know, words can mean, you can have what they call variations of words. Is it called synonyms? Synonyms. They're called, so words that mean the same, but they sound different, right? Is that what it is? So I don't know, I wasn't a very good English person. Anyway, it says, commit your actions to the Lord and your plans will succeed. That's a good scripture. Commit your actions to the Lord and your plans, ever say plans, will succeed. Right. Psalm 118 and verse 25, I'm reading the New Living Translation. It says, please, Lord, please save us. Please, Lord, give us success. Well, we want success. It says that the Lord will give you good success. And one translation says the Lord will give you TPT translation says the Lord will give you a breakthrough. That's success, isn't it? Having a breakthrough, something you're having trouble with it. The CEV translation says, let us win. Lord, let us win. We want to win, right? We almost won last night. Amen. Some of you came home happy, half happy, because we won half the game. But we'll be back. Like Arnold, I'll be back. all right. So we all want breakthroughs. We want God to let us win something. The New English translation says, grant us success. King James says, Lord, give us prosperity. Well, that's not a good word, prosperity, seemingly in the Christian world, because they think all we want is your money, or all we want is money. Well, I wish I had some money myself. like they said I had, but I don't have it right now. But I'm believing for it. Praise God. Amen. So here's the idea we want to get across, that success ultimately, when we talk about success in life, here's the thing about it. Success ultimately in life is following God's plan for your life. That's the ultimate success that you will have and you will take with you on to the other side. So let me introduce this. You know, as a pastor, as a person, in careers, I've had different number of things that I've done in my life. I haven't been asked to go on the road. No one's asked me to go on the road to speak to people and how successful I've been. Not yet, anyway. But I've experienced tremendous success in my life. Tremendous success. Both in personal life and spiritual life, I've had success in my life. And I'm sure you have had personal success and you had spiritual success. I've had success in ministry. I've had success in different areas of my life. If you understand someone's position, where they came from and saw where they came out of, you're successful. When I think about Maxine over here, Maxine, you know, there was poor people, but she was very poor. I'm serious, right? I mean, when the poor people looked at her, they said, "That's poor." I walked by her house, you know? And I was the same way. And the reserve would send a bus to go pass and pick us up in the morning. I wouldn't sit in front of my house. I'd rather walk to church, to school. I was embarrassed in my house. I was just poor. And I would walk down the road and catch the bus over there so they wouldn't see me. I had one guy one time, you know, from the reserve Fort William here, an old AA speaker. I think maybe somebody might remember him. He said, "You know, I would ask my sponsor a ride home after the meetings. He didn't have a car, see? So somebody would take him home, but he said, "Where do you live?" "Oh, I just live over here," he says. So, you know, "Well, I'll drive you home." No, just drop me over here." He said, no, just drop me. I just live around the corner of here." He said, "No, I'll drop you at your home." So he said they drop him off in front of this house, and so he pretend he had to go around the house, go in the back. That was not his house, of course, because he went there. And so it was the same thing with me, because I didn't realize I was doing what he's doing, but I didn't want anybody to know where I lived, because I felt that, you know, embarrassed. So if you look at my life, you would see that something drastic has taken place. Somebody familiar to me phoned me the other day, asked me for money, but they were drunk, and said to me that I was rich. I laughed at him because, I guess to him I'm rich. And I am rich, because the Bible does say we're rich in the Lord, and we have, God made us rich. But also the Bible says rich means abundantly supplied. I'm abundantly supplied. I have all my needs met. So are you. So here, if you can see that, you'd appreciate it a little bit more. I don't know exactly, what successes you have, or maybe failures, but certainly God wants you to have success, whatever you do. And I witnessed it as a student, and also as a teacher at the college level. I watched students come out of the treatment centers. They went into the halfway homes. They got themselves an apartment. They went to school. I saw them come out of there. And then now they finished their schooling. They went to university. They went, got themselves a career. And they experienced great success. And I've been a part of that. I've seen that happen to students, and was part of that. And I rejoice in it and thank God I've seen Christian people that come through church and they come here and they find success and they go on to great things. I've seen people who, men who were very lonely and were drunkards or drug addicts and come to church, find a wife, marry them and have tremendous families. So you see success there. Somebody asked, what is success? Many people have asked this question over the years. In the world, this world we live in, success is determined by having fame, fortune, or money, and riches. Success is determined in recognition of achievements. You know, the world determines if you have these things, you're successful. Jesus said in Mark chapter 8, verse 36, what shall profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Some success in life won't matter at the end of your life unless it has something to do with the plan of God. One successful man said, you know, at the end of his life, he said, all the money I have. And the doctor said, you only have so much time to live. All the money I have and all the fame I got doesn't buy me any time, because the doctor said, you only have so much time to live. You know, so he said that it didn't matter, you know, that he had all this fame and money. But he was a young man in his prime, and he died because of it. I mean, not because of his money, but because, you know, he just couldn't buy his way. Money couldn't buy his way. So people can achieve some kind of success in life, but they're still not happy. They feel something's missing. I know for myself, I had a certain success in life, and if I thought, if I can just have successful life, if I quit drinking, quit doing the things I've been doing, and if I gain these things, if I gain a job, if I buy a car, if I had a girlfriend, if I had so many years of sobriety, and I have all this volunteer work in the community, and belong to this club and whatever, I said, I'd be happy. But I was still, on the inside of me, I was still something empty in there. I didn't know what it was, but I didn't know how to do with God. So sometimes Christians can have success and leave God out of it. And we have to be careful. One dictionary says, as far as the definition of success is, he says, success is the accomplishment of an aim or purpose. It's the attainment of fame, wealth, and social status. Dr. Miles Monroe, he's passed away now, he said, success is following God's plan and the accomplishment of his purpose for our lives. So we can miss it when it comes to following God's plan, his will, his purposes for our lives. Success without God isn't real success in the end. At the end of working, you know, the ultimate goal, you know, is to have really when somebody wins a great thing in life, maybe they won something. And I've heard of people who've had medals and Olympic dreams come true. And they said, is this all there is? Is that all there is? And thank God for some people who've had God already and had the success. They enjoyed it for a season, because that's not the whole thing about life is not just having that success. Because success without God isn't really ultimately a successful venture in life. Following the plan of God, in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, it says, you may have good success in the affairs of life. It was God's idea for us to have success. The psalmist wrote this. He said in Psalm 127, verse 1, except the Lord build the house, they did labor in vain. It seemed to be, in that scripture, that people actually built stuff, but still weren't successful. It was in vain. You could have all your plans, but without God, it doesn't really mean much. God allows you to do stuff, going to different areas. And you need to have the Lord involved in that. And that's why people get afraid, because they achieve so much and they lose something, knowing that, you know, they could lose it. Dr. Yonggi Cho said, "You can take everything I have from me, put me somewhere else, I'll have the same thing in a few short years, because you cannot steal what I have inside my heart." And so, inevitably, you know, like you have got to have God involved in your life. It's not the fact that you finish your education, you now have a nice career, and you might have some money, you might have some fame, you might have, you know, some status. Those are okay, those are good, but that's not the ultimate plan. Like we always say, you know, is life all about you going to work every 9 to 5 or whatever, paying your bills, going home, maybe watch a few programs or watch a game or something and have fun, laugh at your friends, and is that all there is? There's more to life than just having a job. There's more to life than that. So here, let's go ahead and read 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 13 and 15. It says here, "But on judgment day, fire will reveal what kind of work each builder has done." I'm reading the New Living, I guess it is here. "The fire will show if a person's work has any value. If a person survived, that builder will receive a reward. But if the work is burned up, the builder will suffer a great loss, but the builder will be saved, but like somebody barely escaping through the wall of flames." You know, it tells us in different areas that things that we do for God, did we do for our own glory or we do it for God? That's going to be revealed one day. Did you do it for yourself or you do it for God? Some achievements will just go up in smoke. And we need to watch this and see what God wants, you know. Like, everything in life doesn't always count here. There's another part to life. Here's a young man in 2 Chronicles chapter 26. This is where he found success. Verses 3 to 5, I'm reading the New Living Translation. This young man by the name of Uzziah. A young man. It says here, Uzziah was 16 years old. This is 2 Chronicles 26, 3. Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king. He reigned in Jerusalem 52 years. His mother was Jecholiah, and is from Jerusalem. He did what was pleasing in the Lord's sight, just as his father Amaziah had done. Uzziah sought God during the days of Zechariah, who taught him to fear God. But as long as he sought guidance from the Lord, God gave him success. He learned something. That if we just ask God, you know, we see battles in Israel. They said, "God, should we do this?" God says, "No, don't do it." He said, "Go ahead and do it." They always found success. God says, "Shall we attack them?" He said, "No, don't attack them. Attack them tomorrow." So there's sometimes God says to Israel, you remember the stories where God told them to go, Israelites to go and attack and so on, and they didn't listen. And so the next day, they got beat, but the next day, "So we're going to go now." And the man says, "No, don't go now." They went anyway. And they got sorely beat. So there's timing involved in different things. Timing for us, too. We can't just do whatever we want just because we had success in one area. There's some timing involved in allowing God to lead us to release, you know, ourselves into a certain venture. Yes, God may want you to do something, but it might not be the right timing. Like the Israelites, we see this in their lives, because there are times that God says, "Don't do it now, do it later." Or, "Go and do it now," and they didn't, and they got defeated. So there's times that we have to follow what God's plans are and make sure that, success, people want to show off sometimes, and show people they had great success. It's not about showing off. You know? It's about following God. Praise God. No amens there, but, you know, it's we have to follow God, right? What did the Lord say? Well, what's he saying to you? So the Lord said to me in the spring of 1985, while I was a struggling student in my educational pursuits, my dream of going to school, I was in a real emotional downtime. I was struggling spiritually. You ever struggle spiritually? You know, trying to follow God, but you don't know how to follow God. You don't know what church to go to. You don't know what Bible version you should read. I mean, I was struggling about a lot of things, and particularly my own personal life spiritually and where I was with God. And we'll all go through these things. I was having not only relationship issues with people, and I was also having trouble financially. So I was in big trouble. And they say that God's goodness leads one to repentance and draws that person to himself, and he would get all the glory. And sometimes when we get afflicted with different troubles, we run to God. Some people run away from God. When you have trouble, it's not time to stay away from church. It's time to run to church. Be right in the front row. Bill Prankert put in this status this morning. Come to the front row. Don't sit in the back. Come to the front row. And I see, you know, my native brothers at their church services. There's nobody sits in their first 5, 6, 7 rows, and they all sit in the back. Same with this church. Some of these people want to sit here. You want to sit here because there is actually something that you feel a lot different, right? You can feel the sense of power more. You just feel that. But you can sense the power. Really, you can for some reason. We don't know why. Maybe you have to go to the bathroom often. I don't know. So I was feeling a little bit down there. Well, I was feeling like a failure and was a failure. How many people ever felt like a failure? Yeah. How many people were a failure? I mean, you all should be lifting your hands right there, right? But we all feel like, you know, even, you know, we feel like a failure a lot of times, you know, maybe as a dad. Maybe as a workmate, a boss, or whatever it is, you feel like, you know, I just don't have it. And so we go through rough times in our lives where our emotions get a hold of us, and we feel like a failure. God put this question in me while I was struggling. He said to me, "Do you love me?" I remember that's one of the most impactful things that ever happened in my life. As God asked me, "Do you love me?" I said, "Yes, Lord, I love you." He said, "See that Bible? Go pick up that Bible. And I want you to read Psalm chapter 1. So I pick up the Bible. I remember distinctly that day. It was a nice day. My window was facing the east and the sun was coming in. I was feeling depressed about my schoolwork, about my financial situation. My car was in the... you know, just really barely making it. And had tremendous questions about my spiritual life, like what I was doing in my life and why I was such a failure. And I made mistakes, so many mistakes. It was eating me up on the inside. And I said, "Yes, Lord, I do love you." He directed me to read this word, Psalm chapter 1. Let's go ahead and go to Psalm chapter 1. And let's start reading from verse 1. Psalm chapter 1, verse 1. "Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." And the Lord said to me, are you taking counsel from ungodly people? And listen to me, I was not going to church. I didn't belong to a church. I did not have a pastor. I was trying to live a life like a Christian without doing all those other things, like reading my Bible regularly. I was told that there's Christians that don't read their Bible regularly. They only read it if they go into crisis or they want an answer. They read, you know, back at when I was growing up, my mom bought this huge Bible and they put it, you know, where everybody, it's called the family Bible, but nobody ever read it. So I don't know if you're like that. The family Bible, nobody reads it. So, standing in the way of sinners, sitting with the scene of the scornful. You know, there's people who will belittle your spiritual life. He said, "You believe in that God?" You know, and they belittle it, and then you don't want to go there because you're with them. You don't want to be identified with those people they're making fun of, so you don't want to let them know you're doing this, going to church. He says, "But his delight," thank God for his buts. Verse 2, "but his delight is in the law of the Lord." So the law of the Lord is what Joshua chapter 1 verse 8 talks about, the law of the Lord, that's the word of the Lord. But his his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. That's same thing what Joshua said. Meditating on it day and night. You're thinking about the word regularly. Ask yourself, is this what God would do? Does he want me to do this? Does he want me to go here? Does he want me to go there? Does he want me to do this project? Does he want me to have this job? Continually asking God, Lord, what do you want me to do? That's a good way to live. Verse 3 says, when you do those two things, or those things there, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit in the season. His leaves shall not wither, and whatsoever he do shall prosper. I saw another scripture. He says, whatsoever he do, he'll prosper. He says in there, whatever he does will have success. I saw other scriptures, Psalm 92, Psalm 91, talks about the believer, the righteous man, who prospers in his old age. He'll be vital and still producing. I want to be producing. I want to still be productive in my life. I want to be useful. I don't want to be just barely making it. He's 67 years old, barely walking. I want to move with my limbs. I want to be independent, right? I want to have my own, think with my own mind. I want to enjoy food. So, the scripture says, if I just put God's word, if I put God first in my life, like Joshua 1, Psalm 1 says, ultimately I'd find success in whatever I did. Then the Spirit of God at that moment led me to Deuteronomy chapter 28. And I want to read you a few scriptures in Deuteronomy 28. This was in light of the same scriptures what he showed me, because, you know, when you're suffering and going through hard times, God will lead you out of that. The Bible says that God leads you in and out of things. He leads you to somewhere, then he leads you out of something that you've got yourself into. It says that over there in John 10, he says he'll lead you in and lead you out of things. Here's what it says over here in Deuteronomy 28. And the King James Version says, "It shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord your God, to observe to do." It says, hearken diligently. Some people, maybe they don't hearken diligently. They just kind of like, you know, casually read the Bible. They don't really read it. They just kind of skim through it. So I read the Bible. You know, to the voice of the Lord thy God. And the voice of God is speaking to us all the time. The Spirit is speaking to us. To observe, to do all his commandments which I command you this day, the Lord thy God will set thee high above all the nations of the earth. Verse 2. And all these blessings, everybody say blessings. Then from this verse on, right to verse 14, it talks about blessings. All these blessings shall come upon you. That's what it says there. If you would do these things, if you hearken diligently, if you observe, to do. All these blessings shall come upon thee and overtake you if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Verse 8 says this. We'll jump to verse 8. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses and all that thou settest thine hand unto. God will, whatever you set your hand to, God will bless it. Amen? That's what he said to me. And all, he will bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God gives you. Verse 12. The Lord shall open to thee his good treasure, the heaven to give rain unto that land and to his season. Notice this. And to bless all the work of your hands. So, Maxine, your hands are going to be blessed for a long time. You're not going to have arthritis. You're going to move pretty good. Ever say hands? See, God wants you to do something with your hands, right? And your feet too. We saw that in Joshua. Get your feet going. And you shall lend unto many nations, thou shalt not borrow. Well, I'm believing that. You know, I thank God we didn't borrow money. We spent $180,000 to fix the out of this spring here. We spent $180,000 to fix this all up. And we looked at how much money we spent just to do the outside there, which is $180,000. And when we moved here, we didn't have any money. The Lord says to me, we were struggling to try to make ends meet with Spirit of Life Television. We're working really, really hard. The guys here were just working so hard to get people to give. I told our board, I said, hey, you know what, listen to me. I don't feel that God wants us to have a fundraiser. You know, we'll have some fish here and some, you know, make some pies and we'll raise some money. You sell a few products, make some whatever, you know. So we did this for a few years. I said, I want to let you know that God says that this is not the way we should go. I don't feel that this is what God wants us to do. So we went ahead. And the more and more we did it, it seemed to be getting more and more harder to do it. Because everybody wants that same donor that we're asking for. And we did it for a number of years. The Lord finally started getting ridiculous. So Lord, I prayed. I took it to prayer. I prayed about it. The Lord said to me, I told you that before. Because I didn't have that faith. I didn't release my faith. Like some of you right now, you don't have faith to release. I have to have faith to release myself to working here without depending on the college to provide for me finances. I don't know if you appreciate that. Amen. When I have to depend on the church paying for me, and I work for 20 years at the college so that I can work here. Amen. Amen. My wife and I, we're worth every penny. And so we work at the college so that we could work here. So the Lord said to me, I want you to. I was asking the Lord because the Lord knew my faith. I said, okay, if you want to do that, then fine. It was like, it's hard job, hard work, having three or four jobs, trying to survive, trying to do this, trying to do that, run here, run there, and work. You have no time to even breathe. The Lord said, okay. The Lord spoke to me, and I said, okay, I'm going to talk to, I talked to my staff here on Tuesday. I said, you know what, guys, listen, we're not going to do this anymore. We're not going to do any more fundraising. They were all so happy. It was hard work. It was more work than anything, than worth the money almost. I mean, we make several thousands of dollars. And we make money, but you have to spend money to make money there. So we said, no, we're not going to do it. And besides, listen to me. I'm talking about my own finances when I say that's my own finances too. So I have to depend on God. I've been doing this for a number of years. So what would you do? Where would you get your money? Like when we started this building, we said the building plan, told Pastor Steve, go ahead and sell the building. We sold the building within a week. We had a buyer. We sold it for $300,000, our other building we paid for. But we had nowhere to go. Where am I going to go? So I'm thinking about this. So we start having business meetings with the city and construction people and business people and different legal people and architects, builders. We'd have meetings regularly. And so all of a sudden, they say, okay, draw up a plan. What do you want? What kind of building you want? So we draw up a plan. Here's what we got. They must have laughed at us because we thought we'd build this. We want to build this building and buy a piece of property too. All of a sudden, I'm over $3 million. And I'm looking at the church. I know what's coming in for the last 30 years. I said, this is getting scary. And so, you know, where are we going to get money? Banks going to laugh at you? But anyways, this is my woes. The life of a pastor. I know my flock. I know the state of my flock. I know what they bring in, what they give. So the building the building, and also leaving the other, you know, fundraising so that we can have money to have this ministry, the Lord said to me, no, your money is going to come from your partners, the people who believe in what you're doing. Let me just tell you a little story, short story. Although we lost all that money fundraising, all the efforts, we have more money in our bank accounts now, in our Spirit of Life bank account, than we ever have in our whole life. That's success. That's success. And we came here, we didn't have any money. We had $300,000, and we had some other monies. We bought this for $600,000. We put another $500,000 in it, money. And we had to find, you know, it would cost more than that because we had our own people work on this stuff. So we bought the bill. I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, I'm walking around here. I said, Lord, you know I wanted that building before. Before that other church bought this building, I said, you know I wanted that building. I'm arguing with the Lord. You ever argue with God? A lot of you argue with God regularly. I argue with him lots of times. I said, Lord, if I were you, I would do this. I would help me right away if I were you. You know, I would answer my prayer. If I were you, I'd answer my prayer. Why don't you do it? You have the power. You're powerful. But he doesn't do that. I mean, he has his ways. He has ways of operating. And so, and the Lord said to me, I'm walking back. I walk this way. I walk around. I come back again. I said, look at that. I sure would like that building. He said, you're going to have that building. So that day, I went to the pastor's prayer meeting, and I saw a pastor there. He said, yeah, I'm selling my building, this building here. And he only used half of this building, half of this room, and he didn't use two-thirds of the building in the upper area. Everything else was just loaded with, he rented out all the space here and downstairs and upstairs. He couldn't run it. He said, we're going to sell it. How much you want? Oh, we want $600,000. I didn't have $600,000. I know the church doesn't have $600,000. I don't have $600,000, but I know who does. God does. Amen. He said, okay, let's make a deal. Let's strike a deal right here. We'll shake hands. I'll buy a building. So we bought the building. So I looked on my Facebook thing, come up here. We got it here 8 years ago. We spent over $1 million, over $1 million in here and more. And within 2 years from this time, we'll completely pay this whole building off with all the renovations and everything within two years. Okay? Besides that, we help other churches pay off their buildings since we've been here. And we just sent, I think we just, I signed a check. We sent $50,000 to pay off the other church building in Geraldton. And we put 30 grand before there as well. Right? And we said we gave money to, we saw other people building churches, buying churches. We said, okay, we'll send money. We'll give $5,000 here. We give $5,000. We start sending money out. we went to Ram. We said, Lord, we want this, we want that. So here's, we want to give this money. My wife and I walked up, and all our staff, we said, we want this. And so we sowed seed. In the last year, if I told you, it would be astounding to you about what God did for us on a financial level. God's good. He blesses us. If we learn to put God first in our money, our finances, instead of people are trying to get out of God's plan. You know, we want to see God working in our lives. So God says, everything you put your hand to, prosper. So I remember those scriptures the Lord gave to me every time I was doing a new project. He said, everything, whatever you do, you'll be successful. You just make up your mind, I'm going to be there, God says to me. But a lot of times I get afraid, I step back, and I don't want to do it. Just like you. I not only have to pay my own bills, but the bills of the TV ministry, the bills of this church, and any other project that I'm thinking about. And so you have to have God's mind on it. What do you want to do? Where do you want to go? And so I thank God for all the people that are here that have given towards the ministry. And I think in all my years, I've been here since 1990. I came here in the fall of 1990 from Winnipeg. My wife came here in 1990. We had no money, zero, no money. We had no place to move to. And the Lord says, you start. Build a church. And we had no money to build a church. We had no job. I heard Brother Higgins say something this morning which, was troubling to me. He says, I understand now because Brother Pastor Higgins says to us, do whatever you can to keep the ministry going. He's not talking about robbing a bank. In the name of the Lord. I mean, do everything legally, right? steal from people, do a Ponzi scheme, whatever. He's not talking about that. He's talking about legally, in the terms of this contract of the Lord, right? So listen to this. In all my years of being a pastor, we haven't had more success in the last few years than ever before in our whole lives. And everything we did, financially, we've been the best part in all our lives. And I'm going to be 70 soon. No. Listen, God is good. And let me just give you a couple more scriptures. I know it's 10 after, but you can wait. This is important. You want to have success. What are you going to do? Here's the question. What are you going to do? Proverbs chapter 16, verse 3 says, commit your actions to the Lord. We said that, and your plans will succeed. He said, Lord, I'm going to give you this broken dream. If you can do anything with it, Catherine Kuhlman. Remember Catherine Kuhlman? Lord, I'm giving you this with my life. If you can do anything with it, do something with it. Catherine Kuhlman was one of the greatest healing evangelists that we've ever known in our modern times. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, New Century Version says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't depend on your own thinking. That's our trouble, right? We put our thinking in it. Remember the Lord in all that you do and he will give you success. In other words, he says, remember everything you do, just remember to put God in. Get God involved in your plans. Solomon, the smartest man in the world, the wisest man in the world, he found success in God when he put himself under God's hand. He said over here, 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 11 and 12, the King James says, and God said to Solomon, because this was in your heart, thou hast not asked for riches, wealth, honor, nor life of your enemies, neither you have asked for long life, but you have asked wisdom and knowledge for yourself, that thou mayest judge thy people whom I have made you over king. Wisdom and knowledge is granted unto you, and I will give you riches and wealth and honor, such as none of other kings have been before you, neither shall there be any other after you like you. There'll be nobody other like you, he said, ever again. You know, we like to get mad at our enemies, call fire down, but we should bless our enemies, right? So make God your number one priority. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Give God the first fruits of your life, the first fruits of all your increase. God will make it to pass. Come make it to pass. And so I thank God for people, you know. We don't have that. My wife and I don't have that extra job. Now, I'm not crying about it. I'm just telling you, we depend on God. I mean, what would you do if you were me as a pastor? What would you do? You say, I'd do better than that. No, you wouldn't. That's why you're sitting there. That's why I'm here. Because God had to humble somebody like myself, and God had to humble you and bring me along so that I can pastor you. Like a lot of you are more skillful than I am, probably better positioned. I didn't think I'd ever be a pastor. Like, who's going to listen to you? Well, God will give you something. So he will give you success if you put him first. In your marriage, like between your husband and wife, you put God first in your marriage. In your finances, put God first in your finances. With your children, put God first in that. With your job, put God first. Even though you hate your boss, you might hate even your company. I know people like that. They hate their company. They'll hate the people that they were, but they're getting, they were there because they got a job. No, start doing extra. Do extra. Be blessed. And write a check to them. Well, you don't write checks anymore. Send them an EMT. Right? Let's go ahead and close.